Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Pastor Caesar LaFleur.
Thank you for making Illinois Family Spotlight a part of your day. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Deuteronomy 30:19, where God says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that you and your children may live. One of the first things that God really awakened and given a passion to me about was the sanctity of innocent human life. And I've been blessed in that ministry over the last 30 years to meet some very exciting and dedicated people. And none no more so than in 2011, I believe it was, when I got a chance to meet John and Cynthia Morales.
You're
going to be too informal. But John and Cynthia Morales are pro-life champions, and they were working on a film at that time called The 40 Film, which marked the 40th anniversary since the notorious Roe v. Wade decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. Had an opportunity to contribute a little bit to that film. And over the years, we had an opportunity to grow in relationship with them as we went around with John and promoted it. And then got to know Cindy and the great work that she does in producing pro-life material, pro-life content for the internet. So we have her with us today. Cynthia Morales is here, and she's going to talk about some amazing things that's going on with Pro-Life Champions. But Cindy, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
First thing I want to do is just, the people who are not familiar, talk about Pro-Life Champions, what it is and what's it about, and how did it get here?
Okay, so Pro-Life Champions was founded by my husband, John Morales, in 2011, and our mission was to educate, challenge, motivate, and inspire the culture on the issues of life and traditional family values.
Mm-hmm.
But he founded the organization specifically because he felt called by God to make a film about abortion, with the understanding in mind that Roe v. Wade 40th anniversary was coming up in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Through prayer and a lot of work, we formed a not-for-profit to make that film. So that was the original intent of Pro-Life Champions. So the 40 film you can see online for free. You just type in 40 film-abortion on YouTube and it'll come up. If you don't do that, you might get something goofy. And it's about an hour long. It's in chapters and it's broken down into those chapters, so you can watch it in 5-minute segments if you don't have an hour to spare. But it basically looks at abortion as a human rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been called one of the most powerful pro-life documentaries ever made, so it's certainly worth your time. One of our board members calls it Pro-Life 101, and she still uses it to introduce people to the pro-life movement. So after a few years of promoting that, and you know, movies have a shelf life, what should we do next? We weren't sure what God wanted us to do. And I happened to meet a woman who was 36 at the time. She had a 20-year-old child who was in the armed forces, and she had his picture in his uniform, and she was so proud of him. And we talked a little bit. Now, I don't know if she was pressured to choose abortion, but she would have been the kind of person who would have been pressured, because she was 16 years old when she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was Black. Her mother had died, her adoptive mother. She was adopted. And so she was lacking support. And so I imagine that the sort of thing she would have been told is, you need to have an abortion or your life is not going to be worth anything. You're never going to finish school. You're never going to have a life. You need to abort this child. Well, she chose life. And 20 years later, she has her own business. It's a fashion business where she actually dresses movie stars.
Yeah.
And she sells her creations on the internet. She's very successful. So having a child at 16 did not stop her. And she was so proud of her son, who, by the way, has since gotten married and had a child himself. So See, if she had had an abortion, she wouldn't have just killed her own child. She would have killed her future grandchild.
Generations.
Of course, she didn't know that when she was 16. She just chose life. And I thought, what a great story.
Yeah.
You know, that's so positive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of the normal narrative we hear in the pro-life movement, which is, I chose abortion and now my life is awful. Why don't we take that same situation and say, hey, I was in that same situation, but I chose life.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my story. And that's how we started the Shout My Story project, which is an ongoing project.
And that's an incredible project, because there are these stories out there that need to be told. People need to hear them. You know, like that story. I experienced something at 40 Days for Life. I was praying at Flossmoor, and I met a lady out there. She just came out with a sign, wanted to stand there and be with us. And I asked her, you know, what's your story? How did you get here? She told me the story that she was pregnant 15 years ago. And she said that she had already set up the appointment to have the abortion, and that she had gone in, but someone had prayed for her. She changed her mind, didn't know how to get out of it. So she was in the room praying, God, get me out of here. She couldn't afford to lose the money. She had already paid for it. So the nurse came in, told her, hey, we have to let you go and refund your money. They said, why? Well, we checked and we don't think that you're really pregnant. She goes, what? We don't think you're pregnant. So she walked out and stood outside for a while and said, what just happened? 6 months later, she had a baby girl, and that baby girl was out there with her that day. And so stories like that, you know, I said, look, I'm a guy who believes in the supernatural. And I believe that God answered her prayer. God hid that baby from them. God delivered her out of there, and she came out, and then she became a pro-life champion. So those kind of stories need to be heard because we're saturated with the other side. We need to hear these stories about choosing life.
The point of those stories is to give women in those same situations encouragement and hope.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because in this culture, you can choose abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want people to choose life. It's the better choice. We strongly believe that. And mm-hmm. we know what happens when you choose abortion. People mm-hmm. choose abortion because they're in a situation where they feel, ironically, that they don't have any other choice.
Absolutely.
And so they feel like they have to get an abortion for whatever reason. But once they get the abortion, the circumstances that led to that choice, they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't fixed anything by mm-hmm. getting the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still have those problems. So we of the pro-life movement, we need to, and I think we've done this, take a broad view of a woman's situation to help her get out of her crisis. So, you know, end the crisis, not the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you about, what do you think about, what has been the progress? So how has the pro-life movement over the last 30 years, how has it changed? Is it better? Is it more effective now? Or do we see some things that we're still continuing to do without big effect? Just what is your opinion of the pro-life movement as a whole?
Well, I'm going to specifically talk about pregnancy resource centers because that is the subject of my latest film, Fake Clinics,
absolutely.
Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I worked in, as a volunteer, in mm-hmm. a pregnancy resource center in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had a lot of experience working with them now because I have filmed many women from those clinics who have chosen life. And I would say that the main difference is that back in the early days of the pro-life movement and when all the pregnancy resource centers were being formed, the emphasis was on the baby. Save the baby, save the baby at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the methods that might have been used back then are no longer used, where people would be saying things like, don't murder your baby,
yes,
you
right.
know,
yeah.
don't kill your
mm-hmm.
baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now at some point.
Some still do that, unfortunately. But, yeah.
I think very few,
yeah.
and I'll
mm-hmm.
tell you why in a second. But by the time we did the 40 film and we interviewed Peggy Hartshorn from Heartbeat International and Dean Nelson, who at the time was in charge of CareNet.
Absolutely, yeah.
The emphasis was more on, we understand women can choose abortion, so we have to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to love the woman.
Absolutely.
We have to help
mm-hmm.
the woman. And so the emphasis became woman-centered rather than baby-centered, because the idea is if you save the woman, you're going to save the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that is the emphasis. And furthermore, national organizations have developed, like CareNet, Heartbeat International, and NIFLA, they have policies and procedures in place to help pregnancy resource centers maintain professionalism when they deal with women. They have training where they literally teach counselors how to talk to women,
mm-hmm.
what to say. It's scripted in some cases so that you are not putting your own feelings in there. You are not trying to force women. There's this very constant drumbeat. She can make her own choice.
Mm-hmm.
She is autonomous. We understand that. But we think it's best that she choose life,
yes.
because we
mm-hmm.
don't want her to. We really don't
mm-hmm.
want her to kill her baby.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's her decision. And the women I've interviewed and for my film, Fake Clinics, were the clients. All of them said, we were not coerced. We were given dignity. We were given support. And that's why we were able to choose life.
Absolutely. I wrote a manifesto about 6 years ago that I really thought that there needed to be some changes in the pro-life movement. And that included one of them, to change the way we talk about this thing. I thought we needed to be more loving and inclusive. And, you know, also, hey, focus in. This is a soul. You know, we just don't want to win a victory here and talk somebody out of an abortion. You know, her issue is far more than that. There's some things in her life, and she needs Jesus like anyone else. So I was encouraged to see with these pregnancy centers how they're really being more strategic in their approach.
Well, what is interesting, too, is that a lot of pregnancy resource centers do make it a point to ask the woman, can I pray with you?
Yes.
If they're open, can I share the gospel with you?
Mm-hmm.
And more centers are getting on board with that.
Absolutely.
So that it's a very holistic approach. If you go into the abortion clinic, they take your money, they give you the pill most of the time now,
mm-hmm.
or they give you a surgical abortion, and they send you on your way.
Right.
There is no other kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the pregnancy resource center,
mm-hmm.
from the very first appointment, you are starting a relationship that could last years.
Mm-hmm.
We at the Pregnancy Resource Centers are not just helping women choose life. We're helping them improve their situation so
Absolutely.
That pregnant. Now, not every resource center has every resource, but in general, now they have life coaches. Mm-hmm. They have counselors.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and this has been true forever, they have rooms where you can get diapers and
yes,
clothes for
right,
your children.
Right.
And not just your newborns, but you can get clothes for mm-hmm. children up to 4 or 5 years old.
Absolutely.
You
yeah.
you can come back to that resource center for years.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your film, Fake Clinics, right on the other side of this break. But I appreciate that whole approach to reaching the soul. Our friend Sylvia Matthews-Johnson down in Houston, Texas, who runs the Houston Pregnancy Centers, shared with me a couple of years ago that in 1 year in the Fifth Ward, she said, we saw 3,800 women. She said, we share the gospel with 3,800 women. And that just really set my soul on fire because I believe that is the number one need that we have with everybody is to meet Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just this issue. This is an eternity of issues that need to be addressed. And so we really have to be concerned about the soul of those women, which is why I was a strong proponent of opening up pregnancy centers in churches. And I was glad to work with Pastor Moody, Chicago Life Center Church in Englewood, to open up a pregnancy center there at my church in Markham, Spirit of Liberty Church. We're opening up his Loving Arms Pregnancy Center in the spring because I believe that's the place where you can show the love of Christ in more than just talking, but in action and in deed. And leading to that eternal life that Jesus was talking about in John. Say, I've come that you might have life.
And have it abundantly.
Abundantly. And it's that not only the life here on earth, but the spiritual life. That's what he came to bring. So Pregnancy Resource Centers are a valuable resource. We're going to talk about your film right on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
A proper view of nature. This is Ken Ham, a contributor to the family apologetics magazine, Answers. Have you ever noticed that some people worship nature, revering it as more important than people, while others carelessly destroy creation? And both are wrong. God gave us dominion over creation, but this doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want with what God has made. Scripture teaches that God cares for and delights in what he made, even the sparrows and lilies. We need to care for creation, but also remember that humans alone are made in God's image. We have a special status because of this. Nature isn't more important than people, but it is important. Being a good steward, you know what that means? Keeping both of these truths in balance.
Learn more about God's beautiful creation at AnswersRadio.com. You'll find biblical worldview teaching at AnswersRadio.com.
Welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. Pastor Cecil LaFleur sitting in, and our guest is Cindy Morales of Pro-Life Champions. And right before the break, we were talking about pregnancy resource centers and all the wonderful things they do. But you all might have noticed in the news over the last couple of years, there's been this coordinated attack against pregnancy resource centers. People like Elizabeth Warren in the U.S. Senate and others that are putting these things out, these accusations about their fake clinics. They have no medical understanding. They're deceiving women and blah, 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 all of those things. And so, Cindy, you heard those and God moved on you to give an answer to it. And what was that answer?
So you're right. So what I noticed is right after the Dobbs decision was this incredible uptick in attacks on pregnancy resource centers. Now, calling them fake clinics is not new. Mm-hmm. I think I read an article in Ms. Magazine way back in the 80s that mm-hmm. said they're fake clinics, and there were a lot fewer pregnancy resource centers then, and they weren't medical then. Mm-hmm. There's been a huge change in pregnancy resource centers,
right.
you know, now
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
where you're offering ultrasounds, you have nurses on staff. They're mm-hmm. much more medical now than they were mm-hmm. 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
However, calling them fake clinics by legislators and trying to pass legislation to stop them from operating,
yes.
I think that is pretty new. A lot of the blue states, notably Illinois,
mm-hmm.
Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Massachusetts, California, and probably other places
Virginia.
That I don't know about. Virginia,
yeah.
is it Virginia too? So what I did was I looked at what are the specific accusations that are being made, and then I tried to answer them in the
mm-hmm.
film. So one of them is that these fake clinics use false advertising.
Mm.
All I can say is this is simply not true. What some people will try to do is they will use strategic ways to get themselves on Google in the front of the line.
Right, yeah,
when
yeah,
someone Googles abortion, that they'll come up.
Mm-hmm.
That's not false advertising. If you go to their website nowadays, again, because NIFLA, CareNet, and Heartbeat International, which the vast majority of clinics
mm-hmm,
belong
right,
to mm-hmm. one or more of those,
mm-hmm.
they are all adamant that there can be no deception. No deceptive advertising, no deceptive phone when they call, no deception when you talk to them. You have to be honest, which makes sense. Because if you're woman-centered and you want to develop a relationship, the last thing you want to do is lie to somebody.
Absolutely.
Because that does not lead to a good relationship.
Right. I actually attended the heartbeat training, and I remember they hammered that in, you know, about the integrity and truthfulness and not being deceptive.
Exactly. So when you go to the website of just about any pregnancy resource center, they will have right on there, we do not do abortions, nor do we refer for abortions.
That's right.
Or they will list what they do, and abortion is conspicuously absent. Mm-hmm. So there is no false advertising. That is just simply not true.
Okay, so a lie.
That's a lie. The next one is that they're not really medical. They lie to women and say that they're medical, but they're not medical. Well, point number one, not all of them are medical, but nor do they pretend to be. So I read or heard somewhere that pregnancy resource centers were like little old ladies and little Christian ladies wearing white coats to pretend to be doctors. I have never seen that. In fact, not even the nurses wear, they're not dressed up like, you know, nurses, like hospital nurses. They're just wearing normal clothes.
Absolutely. Well, well, explain to people real quick. So if it's a medical center.
The websites will say we offer limited medical services such as pregnancy testing, ultrasound. Some do sexually transmitted disease testing, which I think is a fabulous idea. Those are the kinds of services they offer.
And then like prenatal vitamins and things like that.
Sometimes they do that. It depends on, sometimes they'll send, they'll refer out for that. You know, you go see your doctor, you know, for all that stuff. So the reason I think that the pro-choice people say they're not medical is simply because they don't offer abortion. Like, how can you be a reproductive health clinic and not offer abortion? You must be fake. You know, that's kind of their attitude.
But isn't it interesting that they call abortion health care? And so they're throwing abortion in with this whole idea of health care.
Precisely. In their mind, that is reproductive health care.
Yeah.
Killing your baby is reproductive health care.
Right.
So now I think that, again, 25 years ago, there was no such thing as medical clinics. Very, very few. There was one in Dayton, Ohio, that was sort of like a prototype of the medical clinics all over the country. But at that time, when I first came into the movement in 2002, 2001, I can't remember exactly which year, the first thing I said was, you know, you guys, we are never going to win this game if we don't compete with Planned Parenthood. And one of the things that Planned Parenthood does is offer well woman care so that they develop a relationship with the woman so that they know that when their birth control fails, they can go to Planned Parenthood for their abortion.
That's
and
right.
We need to have that same kind of relationship with women. Well, pregnancy resource centers are not there yet, but they are getting closer by saying, hey, come in here for STD testing, because that's one of the things that Planned Parenthood does that we can do, and we can do it for free. So some clinics are doing that. But when they don't do it, so you go to any pregnancy resource center website, they'll list the services they provide. And I have seen pregnancy resource centers that do none of that. They refer out, and all they do is counseling, and they might do a pregnancy test, but that's all they do. And they offer the clothes and the diapers and all that stuff. So they're offering support, but they don't say they're medical. They don't pretend to be medical. But when you are medical, you have a medical director. It is a doctor.
That's right.
That doctor has a license. That license can be pulled for malpractice if they like lie. They have nurses. Nurses have licenses. They can be sued if they lie. They have sonographers. They are licensed. So these are licensed people. They are medical people. So,
and you point out all these things in fake
clinics. This is all in the film.
Who are some of the people in the film?
So we were able to go to several pregnancy help centers. And by the way, some of them, some call pregnancy help centers, some say pregnancy resource center. I think pregnancy help center seems to be the new way of talking about pregnancy.
Yeah, some call it women's help
center. Well, so we went to Houston Pregnancy Help Center, and we worked with Sylvia, who is just a fantastic medical director. I think anyone who wanted to like figure out how to do a pregnancy help center that's effective needs to go like do an internship with Sylvia.
Absolutely.
We talked to her
I've known her 40 years, and we actually talked about this 30 years ago about pregnancy centers in churches. But go ahead.
I mean, that's just an amazing idea. But well, one of the flaws in the pro-life movement that is being addressed more by people like Sylvia and you and Pastor Moody is that a lot of the pregnancy resource centers weren't in the neighborhoods they most needed to be in. So you had the Planned Parenthood on the proverbial Martin Luther King Drive, but you didn't have the pregnancy resource center there. They were downtown or, you know, in the nearby suburb. And so when you put the pregnancy help center right there,
where the clients are coming
where the
from.
Clients are, I mean, many, as we all know, abortion is disproportionately distributed in our populations. So white people make up approximately 70% of the population, but only have like 13% of the abortions. Black people make up 13% of the population and have 40% of the abortions.
And I always distinguish black women make up 6% of the population because they're the ones having the abortions.
Exactly.
And they get the 34% to 40%. Right.
Mm-hmm. And Hispanic women make up about 14-15% of the population, but they have 25% of the abortions. So it makes sense to have pregnancy resource centers in black and Hispanic neighborhoods.
Because Planned Parenthood chooses those neighborhoods to put their clinics in. Well, I don't want to call them clinics, their facilities.
Yeah, they're
76% of them are within walking distance of a black and brown community.
Right. That's what we. And we put that in the 40 film. It's interesting because at that time, one of the filmmakers said, are we sure about this? We could be sued if we put in false information, which, by the way, is not true. You are allowed to have false information in a film, especially if you think it's not false. But we actually checked it out because we were like, well, let's double check on that. We don't want to get in trouble. And that was true.
Absolutely.
So, between 76 and 79%.
Right. Yep.
They put them, you know where else they put them? They put them next to college campuses because they think college campus women need access to either birth control or birth control and abortion.
Right. So I just want to throw this in. If your film, and then there's another film by my late friend Mark Crutcher, the Maffa film, Maffa 21.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that film years ago.
It proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that abortion in America, based on the eugenics, eugenicists that was behind it, was directed towards the black and brown communities to control the population of minorities, Margaret Sanger and those others. And that's why we were the target market for it. What did we do with these black people?
Black people and poor whites.
Absolutely.
And so they were sterilized. People do not realize how powerful the eugenics movement was in the early 20th century in the United States.
Watch Maffa 21, M-A-A-F-A 21. It's on YouTube.com. But go right on. You're talking about fake clinic.
The last one I want to touch on is the abortion pill reversal. I just saw something on Twitter about this because there's a guy in England that or Scotland or it's in the UK, Dr. Dermot Carney, who does abortion pill reversal there. And he's very active on Twitter. And somebody was just saying, oh, this distinguished OBGYN in England has said that everything you say is false. And then I clicked on the article and this distinguished OBGYN said, and there are no progesterone can be dangerous and there are no studies showing this works. Well, there aren't any studies like double blind studies because we're not going to kill half the babies just to see if progesterone works. But this is insane. And as a OBGYN, he should know, he does know, that progesterone is routinely and has been routinely given to women in to support their pregnancies. Women who drop the babies early and keep having miscarriages, a lot of times it's because of low progesterone. And this is why it's Dr. Delgado. I forget his first name.
Okay.
He like made this observation like, hey, man, misoprostol, which is the first, I always say it wrong, but it's that's sort of how it's said. It blocks progesterone, which kills the baby. That's how that pill works. So if I give a dose of progesterone to a woman who's taken the first abortion pill, will it reverse the effects of that pill? Because what it does is lower your progesterone and kill the baby.
Absolutely.
Well, some people have naturally low progesterone, and so their babies die. And so he tried it, and it works. And thousands of babies have been saved. So we address this in the film because one of the states, Colorado in particular, is trying to make, and I believe this is also true in California, they're saying, oh, the abortion reversal pill is dangerous, very dangerous, and we have to stop women from having it. And it's not dangerous. So we interviewed a doctor who has given the abortion pill reversal, and she talks about how it works and how, you know, do people end up in the hospital sometimes if they take it? And she said, yes, they do, but it isn't because of the progesterone. It's because of misoprostol. It worked, and the baby died. And so they're bleeding. One of the things that happens when you take the abortion pill is you bleed a lot.
Yeah.
You're giving a birth, essentially,
in
your bathroom.
I wish we had time to really get to, we only got a few minutes left, but you know, one of the things that during this whole thing when the Dobbs decision came down and they started blaming these deaths, you know, these ladies were dying, like the lady in Georgia. Well, it wasn't because of it. It was because of the abortion pill.
Right. The lady in Georgia. Now, I don't remember the details on her.
She bled to death.
She did. She did die. But did she take the? She took the abortion pill?
Right.
And I think she either had twins or she was further along than she was supposed to or something. They didn't do an ultrasound, so they had no idea what her circumstances were. She was supposed to have a surgical abortion,
and she was there late,
and so they were like, "Here, take the pill instead."
And there's that.
Yeah.
Listen, the movie's called Fake Clinics. Now, there's some things I want. Where can people see it?
Okay.
How can they access it?
Right now, it's going to go up on our website. Shout My Story on our YouTube channel, rather. Shout My Story. It will be playing on EWTN. which is a Catholic station, on October 31st and November 3rd. And then if you want to show it at your church, which I would dearly love everyone to do.
I'm showing it at mine on November 7th.
November 9th.
November 9th. Right, thank you. Right.
You can just contact me, info@shoutmystory.org. info@shoutmystory.org. I am developing a discussion guide slash study, like fact sheet, to go with the film so that you can have a discussion afterwards. The film is only a half an hour long, but it does have a lot of information in it. So we're going to break down some of these topics with some more information to combat these lies about pregnancy research.
So that's Shout My Story, info@shoutmystory.org.
One idea that I have is that you can use the film at your church when you show it as a fundraiser for your favorite pregnancy resource center.
Because that's what we're going to do. All right. Thank you.
Well, I think your favorite pregnancy resource center is your...
And subscribers, they can subscribe, right? We're trying to get 1,000 new subscribers.
Well, no, that's the YouTube channel. YouTube channel, you can subscribe and you can see all our podcasts, all of our short films of women who choose life in difficult circumstances, and our first mini documentary, which is called Incompatible with Life. And then in the not too distant future, we'll have this one on the YouTube channel.
Go there and subscribe. Be a follower of that. And then also, how can people help? You know, if people want to support you in what you're doing, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, which is shoutmystory.org, and make a donation. You can pray. Praying is very important. We need discernment. So yeah, but financial support can be given on our website, shoutmystory.org, on the donate page.
I highly encourage you, if the Lord puts it in your heart, to support it. The work that Cindy Morales and John Morales are doing at Pro-Life Champions is amazing. They're standing up for the sanctity of life, and we so much appreciate it, and we need more people to be involved in this. And so we're excited. Thank you, Cindy, for coming in and sharing with such a wonderful guest. It's Cindy Morales from Pro-Life Champions, Pastor Cecil LaFleur from the Illinois Family Spotlight. I hope to be with you again. God bless. Thank you.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.